वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Aprapya mam nivartante mrityu samsara gatam. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore they return to the path of birth and death in the material world. But the faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purpose of this verse. Faith is created by association with devotees. Unfortunate people, even after hearing all the evidence of Vedic literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. They are hesitant and cannot stay fixed in the devotional service of Allah. Thus, faith is a most important factor for progress in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said that faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. That is called real faith. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yatha taror mula nishechenena chapyanti tat skandha bhujo vashaka prano paharat cha yathendriyanam tathaiva sarvahanam ajuteja. By giving water to the root of a tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs and leaves, and supplying food, and by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all other living entities. Therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is faith. Now, the development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. There are three divisions of Krishna conscious men. In the third class are those who have no faith. Even if they are officially engaged in devotional service, they cannot achieve the highest perfection stage. Most probably they will slip after some time. They may become engaged, but because they haven't complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. We have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive, and as soon as they are economically a little well situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again. It is only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. As far as the development of faith is concerned, one who is well versed in the literatures of devotional service and has attained the stage of firm faith is called a first class person in Krishna consciousness. And in the second class are those who are not very advanced in understanding the devotional scriptures, but who automatically have firm faith that Krishna bhakti or service to Krishna is the best course, and so in good faith have taken it up. Thus they are superior to the third class, who have neither perfect knowledge of the scriptures nor good faith, but by association and simplicity are trying to follow. The third class person in Krishna consciousness may fall down, but when one is in the second class he does not fall down, and for the first class person in Krishna consciousness there is no chance of falling down. One in the first class will surely make progress and achieve the result at the end. As far as the third class person in Krishna consciousness is concerned, although he has faith in the conviction that devotional service to Krishna is very good, he has not yet gained adequate knowledge of Krishna through the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes these third class persons in Krishna consciousness have some tendency towards karma yoga and jnana yoga, and sometimes they are disturbed. But as soon as the infection of karma yoga or jnana yoga is vanquished, they become second class or first class persons in Krishna consciousness. Faith in Krishna is also divided into three stages and described in Srimad Bhagavatam. First class attachment, second class attachment, and third class attachment are also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Those who have no faith even after hearing about Krishna and the excellence of devotional service, who think that it is simply eulogy, find the path very difficult, even if they are supposedly engaged in devotional service. For them there is very little hope of gaining perfection. Thus faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service. In this verse of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is talking about a very basic point. Faith. Now, this faith in God, for most people, is a very natural thing. if we take young children or simple, not very educated people, they'll find mostly they believe in God quite naturally. It's only when we get education in a materialistic way that we start to doubt. Especially in the modern age, they teach the scientific method, which is based on what is called rationalism. The idea is that in science, we will believe in everything which we can study and see. And because people say we have not seen God, therefore why should we believe in it? Of course, in science, there are also many things we haven't seen, which we believe in. Because we see, we may not be able to directly see something, but we can deduce its existence because of the effect it has. Just like no one has seen any atoms. No one has seen subatomic particles. So how do we know they exist? Is it just some dogma that's been given to us by scientists? No, we accept because there are experiments we can do which, by seeing the experiment, we cannot exactly see the subatomic particles. But we can see the effect they have. So I'm told, I'm not a nuclear physicist, but there is some experiment whereby subatomic particles in a certain gas chamber, their effect can be seen by the trail they leave. Now, people say to us, show me God. Why should I believe in God unless you show me? So we can show. But if we show you, can you understand? Even if we show you, can you understand that this is God? We can show you directly God. But will you understand this is God? Just like I may ask the scientist, show me subatomic particles. I don't believe in it. I've never seen it. So they may do the experiment and pass the, whatever they do, they show by the effect in the gas chamber. So if you get a group of 10 nuclear physicists, they'll say, yeah, you saw? They'll all say, yeah, we saw. That's true. Now you can understand there are subatomic particles. But if I say, I didn't see anything. All I saw was some gas changing colors. I didn't see any subatomic particles. That's not proof. So the atomic physicist, he accepts it. Nuclear physicist accepts it. Because he's trained to see. I just see some apparatus. I don't see subatomic particles, but because they're trained to see that this effect shows the existence of subatomic particles, therefore they all agree. And it's not just their dogma, but they also have so many mathematical calculations to back it up. So in the same way, when people say, can you show us God? Yes. But you have to be trained to see. Otherwise we'll show you, and you'll say, I still don't see. So we can show you. Actually, it's not a very difficult thing. Just like you see the subatomic particles by its effect. So we can see God by the effect. How is the universe running on? Is it simply by chance? That's not an explanation at all. In any organization, if we walk into a big multinational corporation's office, and we see everything's running very efficiently, we'll say that the management is very good. So here we are in the universe, and everything's running on very efficiently. All the planets are moving exactly in orbit. You can calculate the position of these stars 2,000 years from now. This position of the night sky in Muscat, what you will see, what will be the position of the different stars, you can calculate exactly. This time of the rising of the sun and the moon. Because everything is going so exactly. So now, we may see, we can't see the manager. But if there's good organization, it means there must be a manager. Just like if you go into a big multinational corporation's office, you may not see the manager. But just you see by the effect, the management is going on nicely. If we say there's no manager, there's no organization, there's no purpose, simply, all these people are coming to work every day on time because they have some kind of fascination. No, they're coming because they're getting money. They're not coming just because they like to sit in front of computers and talk on the phone, somebody. They're coming because they're getting some money. And it's all organized, they're interreacting with each other. And on top there's the board of managers, managing director, they're all organizing everything. So if we see, in the multinational corporation, someone's in a, there's accounts department, sales department, R&D department, then finance department, so many different departments. They're all interacting, it's very complex. There's someone on top organizing it all. So we see in the whole universe, there's so many different interreactions. It's extremely complex how nature is going on. How all the different species are interreacting. This is the whole, now they're talking about ecological imbalance in the earth. It means there's a balance there. So many different, there is a balance which is being disturbed. There are so many factors which contribute to the functioning of nature. It all works on very precisely. Much better management than any multinational corporation. So how can we think that there's no manager? And there's no purpose? Definitely there's a manager and definitely there's a purpose. And if we think there isn't, then that's just foolishness. That's a child, if he walks into a multinational corporation's office, he can't see any purpose. He thinks, well, there's a nice big open space, maybe I can play on the floor. And he thinks, this is the whole purpose of this building should be that I should play here. But the building isn't made for playing. It has a specific purpose. Serious purpose. So similarly, we may be in the universe, and we may just, like, childishly, we may think there's no particular purpose, there's no particular manager, we're just here to play. We're just here for us to enjoy. There's no other purpose than this. That is childishness. So if the existence of God and the purpose of life, that can be ascertained by a little bit cool-headed intelligence. But if we're simply dogmatic, sometimes the atheists, they say that religionists, theists, they are simply dogmatic. But no, it's a very logical thing to believe in God. And practically the atheists, they are dogmatic. They refuse to accept the existence of God, even though there's so much evidence. So if we're a little bit thoughtful, philosophical, we should come to this understanding. There is God. And God means, you see, one of his functions, or one of the things he does, is to create the universe. We are here. So what is the function of the universe? A child may think when he goes into the multinational corporation's office, he doesn't even dream there's any purpose. But a more intelligent adult person, he'll go into the office because he knows there's a certain purpose. He has a certain thing to do there. Or if he's just going in the office, he may not know. He may be just a door-to-door salesman selling computer software, or so he may just be knocking on every door. So he may say, what kind of business are you doing? Oh, this kind of business? Okay, I've got the software that will help you. But he knows, he doesn't think there's no purpose. He doesn't think that people have made a business office just for no particular... He knows there's a particular purpose. So in the same way, if we are philosophical, if we are philosophical, which is the function of the human being, to think, believe it or not, in these days of video films and Mickey Mouse and rock and roll and cricket matches, actually human life is meant for thinking, not just wasting our time with all these useless things. Actually human life is meant for philosophical inquiry. Atato Brahma Jigyasa, Vedanta Sutra says. The first proposition of Vedanta Sutra, very reasonable proposition, is that now we have got the human form of life, we should inquire into the absolute truth. We understand from Shastra that there are 84 lakh species of life, including dogs, cats, monkeys, camels, giraffes, chimpanzees, worms in stool, germs, demigods, demons, so many different species. But the human life is especially meant for inquiring into the absolute truth. Who am I? Where have I come from? What happens after death? Why is the universe going on? Who is God? What is my relationship with it? Human life is meant for this. This is what distinguishes us from the animals. The animals, they are interested in where is food, where is shelter, where is sex, how can we sleep nicely, how can we have a nice home. This is the business of the animals. So what distinguishes the human being from the animals? If he's doing the same thing, maybe the dog is looking for some food on the street. And if the human being goes and works in an office and makes some money, but his ultimate end is the same, how to get food, how to get shelter, all these things. So if a human being, he may think himself very sophisticated because he's living on the 25th story of a plush apartment block. But if his business is only the same as the dog's, where to food, ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha, samanya maitat pashubhyananana. Humans and animals, they have these four things in common: eating, sleeping, fearing, and sexual activity. So if a human being, if he doesn't have anything more than this to his life, he may think, well, I'm very sophisticated, I have pant and shirt, I have a PhD. So I'm very sophisticated, I make a lot of money, and I drive a Mercedes-Benz car. So I'm a really, really great guy. It's just the same mentality as the dog who is running around. I'm a very big dog. Right? Same mentality. Even the politicians, oh, I'm the big leader. It's the same mentality as the gang of dogs. One of them, they all rum, rum, rum. One becomes the, they all, like this. And who becomes the biggest? Who can threaten the others more? He becomes the biggest dog. And in human society, the same thing is going on. Who can be strong? Who can dominate others? But actually, human life is not meant for this. Human life is meant for philosophical inquiry into understanding the absolute truth. If we live like sophisticated dogs, simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending in a sophisticated manner, then next life will become a dog, because our mentality is like that. Just like you see, we were talking about India today, they show these advertisements. They show this smoker cigarette. What do they say? For the gentle people or something like that? For the sophisticated. You're supposed to be sophisticated if you smoke some expensive cigarette. And that's supposed to be very high class. And this is all nonsense. How by smoking some poisonous weed do you become sophisticated? I don't understand. They think if you... Instead, for the poor people, they drink deshi liquor, this hooch. But when you're very sophisticated, then you drink imported Scotch whiskey. And that means you're really high class. But the same effect is there. Whether you pay 300 rupees for a bottle or 30 rupees, the same effect. You get sloshed. And you talk all nonsense and urinate everywhere. And this is what people do when they get drunk. And we get plenty of sinful reactions. So what is high class about this? Really high class means to inquire into the absolute, truth. That is the purpose of human life. We get this human life only after coming through many, many species. It is a very rare opportunity to get human life. So that human life is meant to be used for inquiring about God. Unfortunately, in the modern age, the whole atmosphere is filled with faithlessness. The most simple thing to understand that there is God, and our relationship with Him is the most important thing. Isn't it? Is it or is it not? Yes. When we say yes, we know.
Yeah.
Then we know. Yes. That means we don't have this faith that we're thinking is being talked about. This is the actual point of human life. To understand God. Otherwise, what's the point of being a human being? If we're simply trying to enjoy our senses, then better not to be a human being. Better we get the body of a dog. Because a dog, he doesn't have to work in an office all day just to get some money to enjoy his senses. He just sleeps, and then he gets up and looks for some food, and fights a little bit, looks for a mate. He doesn't have to go through so much trouble. If we like to simply eat all kinds of abominable foods, then why be a human being? Better be a pig. You have more facility. You can go on eating all day. Human being can only eat so much, and if he eats more, he gets indigestion. But with a hog, there's no question of indigestion. He can eat all day. Why bother being a human being? So out of God's mercy, if we want simply to enjoy sense gratification, then God gives us the opportunity. Here, become a pig, become a monkey, become a dog. Why bother all this business working hard in the office? Enjoy to your full extent. But human life is meant for something better than living as than sophisticated animals. Intellectual animalism. Human life is meant for this inquiry into the absolute truth, for understanding God. So, especially in the modern age, this atmosphere is very strongly faithless. There is very strong propaganda in human society. Eat, sleep, drink, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we shall all be dead. And when we're dead, what does it matter? When you're dead, everything is finished. There's no life after death, there's no soul. Everything is simply finished. So why bother with all this God business? Be here now. Enjoy life while you can. And what does it matter? There's no God. There's no karma. So this philosophy, even from the social or moral point of view, this has created chaos. Because people, they have no feeling of social responsibility. That's why we find in the Western countries, there are so many social problems. Just like, for instance, there's no family life as there used to be, or as is still known in India, where people, they get married, and they take the husband and the wife, they have a sense of mutual responsibility towards each other, and towards the children, and towards their parents, and towards their extended family also. But in the Western countries, because they think that the only purpose of life is to enjoy the senses, therefore marriage is simply based on sexual attraction, as is predicted in Bhagavatam, that in Kali Yuga, Dampatye, what is that? Uchyant. Simply, husband and wife, simply, they come together, and then after some time, just to be quite frank, because that sexual enjoyment is not satisfying anyway. So if the marriage is based simply on that, then naturally there'll be divorce. If the only thought is how to enjoy the senses, then there'll be divorce. And they'll, well, let me try again, and again, and again, and again. And therefore people are not, even from the material point of view, people are not at all happy. And there's so many social problems, I don't want to go on and on. But the point is that atheism, which means lack of faith in God, is the cause of so many problems in human society. We're thinking we're being very modern and advanced. Oh, we don't believe in God. That's old-fashioned. We want to be modern. But if by being old-fashioned, then you, if by what they call old-fashioned, then you have some purpose in your life and some satisfaction and some peacefulness, what is better, to be new-fashioned and drunk and your kids taking drugs and get divorced 3 times, no satisfaction, no goal of life, and go to hell? If this is the new fashion, better to be old-fashioned. What is the value of all this modern fashion? But there's no goal in life, simply very whimsical. The modern way of life, extremely whimsical. Simply enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Get money and enjoy. And no more goal than this. Actually, all, you see, like the Roman Empire that stood so many years, as long as they had some sense of responsibility, it was very strong. But as soon as this idea came in, this hedonism, let us just enjoy, then they were immediately conquered because they lost all their strength. So that we see also in the Western countries, the people, they don't have any moral strength or even mental strength, and people now we see all over the world they're following. People don't have mental strength to think for themselves. Just whatever comes on TV, buy this. There's some advertisement. Buy this. So everyone runs out, and like faithful sheep, they all buy it. You know the sheep? If there's 2 fields, you open the gate and you push 1 sheep through, then all the rest follow. So similarly, advertising, simply advertise, buy this, buy that. And people just like, no discrimination, oh, we should buy it. Or they advertise, you should get Mercedes-Benz car, and you'll be very prestigious. So people think, yes, I should get a Mercedes-Benz car. Or you have to have a Sony. You have to have a Sony tape recorder. Panasonic, that's also. That's also. Some, you have to have, in India, everyone wants Japanese. You have to have Japanese. Or they, so they make imitation Japanese, made as Japan. Or they change the name, a little, one letter they change. They want, because they're simply thinking, they're simply indoctrinated that you have to follow. You just simply blindly follow. So people have lost all sense of discrimination. And because in the modern atheistic ethos, there is this propaganda that there is no God, no reason to believe in God, that's all useless, and people are blindly following. It means people are not thinking for themselves. Because if you think for yourself, then you have to, if you think for yourself and you're at all reasonable, then you have to come to the conclusion that there is God, there is purpose to life, that human life is meant for more than living as a sophisticated animal. Unfortunately, modern society is killing the spiritual consciousness. That just like in the schools they teach that we have descended from monkeys. There's not one piece of evidence to date. There is not one single piece of evidence that from all these archaeologists, geologists, anthropologists who have been researching since the times of Charles Darwin, well over 100 years, and not one of them has come up with one piece of positive evidence that human beings have descended from animals. But still they're teaching it in the schools as if it's a fact. Is this not cheating? It's directly cheating. Or they're teaching that the whole universe has simply come by chance. And again, there's absolutely no evidence, nor is it in the slightest bit logical, because nothing organized comes by chance. But they're teaching it. This is subtly, or actually not very subtly, teaching atheism. Means that there's no design of God. But if you're at all rational, intelligent, you have to see. Definitely there is some power or powerful behind all this. So in the schools they're being taught, and through the media, the TV, the whole aim is just the whole idea, advertising how you should get more money and enjoy life with all these so-called good things of life. So this is another level of propaganda. And then the whole way society is set up is modern, with this living in big cities, that also, that kills our spiritual sentiment. If we're engaged in with machines and complex economic systems, this destroys our spiritual sentiment. If we live in a country atmosphere that's in sattva-gun, the mode of goodness, then naturally our thoughts tend towards higher things. But if we're always living with machines, and everything is chemical, the clothes we made are made out of chemicals, the food we eat is grown out of chemicals, treated with chemicals, processed by chemicals, it's like everything plastic society, then by associating with all these things, our spiritual sentiments are killed. And what to speak of if we eat meat, drink wine, smoke cigarettes, all these things, they destroy our spiritual sentiments. So the whole atmosphere in the modern society is creating a big illusion that there is no need to inquire about God, there is no God, and it's such an illusion that even if people say, I'm interested in God, then people say, you're crazy. Isn't it? In the modern society, they think, well, what's wrong with this guy? Something wrong with him. If he's interested in wasting his time in frivolous, meaningless activities, like going to disco clubs, watching nonsense cartoons, watching or playing some useless computer game which has absolutely no meaning or no value, or watching cricket, of course in India if we say that cricket is nonsense, then we stand a chance of being beaten. But actually it's nonsense. Because what is it? It's just a few guys, they run onto a big field, and they throw a ball, someone throws a ball, another person hits it with a piece of wood, and someone runs after it, and then and India, Pakistan, oh, we beat Pakistan. What did you beat? 11 men from India and 11 men from Pakistan, and they were throwing a ball around, and they say, we beat Pakistan. Of course, India never beats Pakistan. Anyway, no one won anything. It's just some imagination. It has no meaning. It doesn't make any difference. Oh, it's only on the mental platform. It has no significance to our lives, whether India so-called beat Pakistan or not, or Pakistan so-called beat India. It's just some meaningless frivolity, like children playing some game. So we think, these things, this is normal, this is good, this is great, this is what life's all about. Parties, sports, videos. And if someone says, I'm interested in God, which means he's actually very deeply thinking about the meaning of life, people say, oh, he's crazy. Just see how the modern society has brainwashed us to become imbeciles. You know this word? You know this word imbecile means? It means... means a big fool. It means someone who has absolutely no brain at all. It's just like, you know, some people, they have no brain. Like this, they have no brain at all. That even though they may be 20 years old, they have the brain of a 5-year-old. And they're, you know, 20 years old, they have to be fed food. This is an imbecile. So in the same way, modern society is making us all foolish. Because the really important thing, which is to understand God, we call it crazy. And we think that normal is just to engage in foolish activities. So in this way, the whole ethos in modern society is destroying our spiritual sentiments. So we shouldn't be misled by this. If we're actually intelligent, people think intelligent means that you can get a degree and earn money. But that's not actual intelligence. That actually, we're thinking it's very intelligent. But what it means is that we're being exploited by someone who's more intelligent. Because you work hard to get a degree, and then you get a job, maybe as a marketing representative. It means a salesman. Yeah, big name, marketing representative. It means you go from place to place and you convince people to buy things. Or you may have a job as a dentist, or you may have a job... But what it is, there's a whole army, the middle class, who are all educated, and they're working hard with their intelligence, but there are a few guys on top who are making billions of dollars. And there's a few guys, there's a whole army of middle class people who have, all their intelligence is just used to serve these multinational corporations and make money for someone else. So you're thinking, I become very intelligent by getting BSc, MSc, PhD. But if we are really intelligent, we would see that some guys on top, they're making us feel good that I've got so much education. They're making me feel good. But they're milking me. You know they're saying? They're milking me. It's like you go and take the milk from the cow. So you just take it. That's all. The cow's got it, and you take it, and you go away. So in this way, we're being milked. We're being exploited. The whole modern society is just a great big socio-economic system for exploitation, that's all. So really, of course, we can't avoid. I'm not saying you should all quit your jobs. That's the way the world is. But at least we should be intelligent enough to know what real intelligence is. Real intelligence means not to be misled by all the propaganda, but to think for ourselves. People think that if you follow religion, you're just sentimental. But nowadays, if you're religious, it means you actually have to think for yourself, because by sentiment, you're never going to follow religion, because people's sentiments are misguided. They're misled into... They give more importance, just like previously in Indian homes, you'd always see pictures of Balaji or Ranganatha Swami or Radha Krishna. Still today you see, but you're much more likely to see this Sri Devi or Amitabh Bachchan or the cricket stars, this Kambli, who knows what their name. These are the important people nowadays. People are putting more stress. There's more interest in cricket games than in Krishna. So this is foolishness. So those who are coming to religion, now when I'm talking about religion, I'm not talking about this kind of cheating religion. Of course, every Hindu, they go to the cinema, They go to the temple also. They have multi-interest, but going to the temple, it's also just part of social life. That we might as well go, because if there is a God, then maybe He can help us. And if there's not, well, we didn't lose anything anyway. We saw our relatives and friends. So we might as well go once a week to the temple. So I'm not talking about, when I'm talking about religion, I'm not talking about that. We go to the temple, dear God, if you're there, I'm not really sure, but anyway, if you're there, help me. Because you're supposed to be all powerful, so I need something. So please give me more money and a better car. And that guy, he's calling me bad names, finish him off. In this way we go to God. But that's not actually religion. Religion means a serious inquiry into understanding the absolute truth. Who am I? Why are we suffering? Why do we have to grow old and die? We have to grow old and die. Right? When you're young, you never think. Everyone thinks, I will live forever, especially when we're young. Gradually as we get older, we feel there's some pain in my neck and can't digest my food properly, and we get some idea. But always we think, it'll come later. But eventually it comes. So real religion means to think philosophically. Why is this happening? What is the reason? What is the real business in serving God? So this, when one has such an inquiry, then he should approach a guru. Nowadays people, they approach a guru just as a matter of fashion or formality. But really one should approach a guru when he wants to understand God. And then he can learn the science of God. That is called Bhagavat Tattva Vigyan. Knowledge of God is also a science. It's not a sentiment. There are so many books of spiritual knowledge. The Vedic Shastras, so many books. It's not just all sentimental stories. But there's, just like here, we see in Bhagavad Gita. What is the next verse here in Bhagavad Gita? Mayata tamidam sarvang jagada vyakta murti namat sthani sarva bhutani nachaham te shravastita. Krishna says, by me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So it's not such an easy thing to understand. It needs explanation. What is the nature of God? God is everywhere. Still He has His personal form. Every living being is in God. Still He's separate from them. It's not such an easy thing to understand God. It's a great science to understand. So to understand that science, we have to approach a guru. Our tendency is to be faithless or not very strong in our faith. But when we get full knowledge of God, then our faith increases. But knowledge of God, as the previous verse explains, is not just simply dry academic knowledge, but it is knowledge which we can experience. Pratyaksham adamam dharmyam. Real religion means something which we experience the presence of God. So this training needs to be there. To understand God, this is our real necessity of life. What is the use of living if we simply have money and a car and an apartment and all these things? What is the use if we simply live and die without knowledge of God? And then in our next life we become a cat or a dog. What is the benefit? But if we live our lives cultivating knowledge of God, and by cultivation of this knowledge, we get free from birth and death and we go to God, or at least in the next life we continue our understanding of God, then that is the proper use of human life. So we should consider these things very carefully. Presumably all of you have come here today because you have at least some preliminary interest in understanding God. Of course, many people think, I already know everything about God. But such a person, he can't learn anything. People who think, I already know everything, and how can you learn anything? So many people think, I know everything. They don't know anything. It's not such an easy thing. You watch Mahabharata on TV, you go to the temple a few times, and you read a few of this Amachitra Katha, and then you think, I know everything. But we have to study the science of God. And it's a great subject to go into it very deeply. So that is required. That is our proposition in this lecture. Practically we haven't talked What is that science of God? Prati, I've talked about the necessity for understanding God is essential for every human being. If not, he is wasting his life. And how to understand? That we have to come to Bhagavad Gita. You can't understand God simply by listening to some cheater. There are so many cheaters who talk so many things. But we have to understand. How do we understand God? We have to understand God from Shastra, especially Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita means that which is spoken by God to explain Himself. And Bhagavad Gita is explained by those who understand God. We have to hear Bhagavad Gita from those who understand God. There are many people who actually they're not interested in understanding God, but they explain Bhagavad Gita as a matter of passion. But we have to see who understands God, who is actually following Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Sarvadhaman paritta jamamekam sharanam raja. Leaving aside all other ideas, surrender to me only. So who is doing that means he's actually a follower of Bhagavad Gita. And if one is not doing that, then he shouldn't attempt to explain Bhagavad Gita. One who is following, he can teach. One who is not following, he can't teach. One who is following means he's understood. Krishna says, surrender to me. So one who surrendered to Krishna means he's understood. Just like in mathematics, you go to learn from a teacher, one who's understood. If the mathematics teacher himself has no idea about mathematics, then how can he teach? So in the same way, we have to test the credentials of a guru. So many people call themselves gurus. But guru means teacher. Is he actually qualified to teach or not? If he's teaching, means he should understand the subject. If he understands the subject, then it means, in spiritual knowledge, in spiritual science, means it's not just a matter of academic learning, but it's a matter of how we practice in our lives. So if someone's supposed to be a guru, but he hasn't surrendered to Krishna, then he's not actually a guru at all. He can't teach us. So all these things we have to consider. The main point here, that we have to consider that human life is meant for understanding God. This is the most important point. It's not just something, I have so many interests in my life. My first interest is me, then my family, then my business, then my watching the television, then sports, politics, social life. Then we have number 8 on the list, religion. I go to the temple also sometimes. So I'm also religious. But that is not the meaning of life. The meaning of life is that the proper usage of human life is that to understand that the most important thing is to understand God. And other things, they are subsidiary. Means we are working, we have a job, because we have to maintain the body, we have family responsibility. But that in itself is not the goal of life. That's to maintain the body, but maintaining the body isn't all in all. The animals also do that. So the actual goal of life is to understand God. Everything else is subsidiary and subservient to that. That, with that consciousness, with that understanding, we can take up spiritual life seriously. This is our point. Spiritual life should be taken up seriously. It's not a matter of sentiment, it's not a matter of social life, but spirit, this is the most important thing. Because the body is temporary, but the Atma is eternal. So if we're simply busy for the body, but we don't take care of the soul, then all our activities, they all get spoiled. At the time of death, whatever progress we've made trying to satisfy the body, that is all lost. Even if you get a crore or 100 crores of rupees by your hard endeavor, you can't take it with you. So better to build up spiritual assets which go with you. That means understanding of God. So all this may sound very theoretical. You can find time to practice spiritual life. Spiritual life is very easily practiced in the modern age by the simple process of chanting the names of God, especially the chanting of the Maha Mantra is recommended. That is, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Rama
Rama,
Ram, Hare Hare. Everyone can do it. There's not a single person who cannot do it unless he's dumb, he has no power of speech. Even then he can do it in his brain. Everyone can do it. It is not impractical, it is very practical. The evidence is there. If you want evidence, the evidence is there. All over the world, many thousands of people are chanting Hare Krishna and getting tangible spiritual benefit. Their life is changing. They're becoming purified. They're not wasting their lives in frivolous activities. Many thousands of people all over the world who simply by material advancement were not satisfied, living in societies where there's no poverty, as there are in many countries in Asia and Africa, were brought up in luxury, but not finding any satisfaction simply by indriya tripti, sense enjoyment. Many people coming from very opulent backgrounds, having everything that material life can offer, and still feeling emptiness in the heart, have taken up this chanting of Hare Krishna, and are now feeling full satisfaction. So it is a practical thing. If it was only one or two people in the Western countries or in India, we could say that it's just some sentiment or some fanaticism. But if many thousands of people all over the world, who many of whom are coming from highly educated backgrounds, means intelligent people, if they are taking it up, and if it is recommended in Shastra, which is recommended by all the great spiritual authorities, great leaders, spiritual leaders of society, if they are also recommended, in all ways, if the basis of it is very strong, then we should also consider ourselves, and why should we not also try and take it up? It's not a difficult thing to do. All you have to do is open your mouth and say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everyone can do. It's recommended. Everyone take the mala like this and chant on beads daily as a regular daily function. Mala has 108 beads. You chant on each bead the Maha Mantra. Then you go to the next one. And in this way, one mala of chanting the holy names is finished. And you can do one mala, two malas, or as many malas, as many times round as we have time and inclination for. We do this as a regular daily practice and associate with other devotees who are doing this, then we will very quickly feel a great change in our lives. We will feel the presence of God not simply as a theory, but as a tangible, realized experience. We will find satisfaction in our heart that we cannot get from any amount of material endeavor. So this is necessary. Modern society is emphasizing one-sided, only material life. But a human being, he has the material body which needs looking after, but he has his spiritual necessity also. Simply to fulfill our material necessity, food, clothing, shelter, family life, that is only for the satisfaction of the material side. But we are not simply material beings. We are spiritual beings. So we have to we have our spiritual needs also. If we don't fulfill our spiritual needs, if we only fulfill the material needs, then we remain very one-sided and unbalanced and dissatisfied. So we're not saying not to fulfill our material needs, but unless we fulfill our spiritual needs, then we'll always remain dissatisfied. So therefore, we request everyone to fulfill our spiritual need by this very easy, very practical process of chanting the holy names of God, the Hare Krishna. And in this way, progressing on the path of understanding Krishna, increasing our faith in Krishna, understanding who is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, making our lives successful in every way. Hare Krishna. Is there any question anyone has?
Swamiji, according to the karmas that we do in this birth, next birth, like we may take a birth of a dog or something, what we are referring to, or a cat, depending upon our karma.
Yeah.
Now, in the next birth, when we take that birth, when we take the birth of an animal, we don't remember our karmas.
Mm.
It is mainly because...
You don't remember because you don't want to. You
no,
want to enjoy
of the past life. You don't know what has happened.
You don't want to remember because you want to enjoy sense gratification. So if you remember that I am an eternal servant of Krishna, then how can you enjoy sense gratification? You want to enjoy sense gratification. Therefore we think, I am a pig, let me enjoy this nice garbage to eat. Because we want to forget.
Is it because we want to forget?
Yes, because we want to forget. Because we want to enjoy this material world, we can't enjoy unless we forget what our real position is. Therefore we forget. We want to enjoy eating all day. So, you get the body of a pig, but you also need the mentality of a pig. So you get it fully. And you very happily eating stool. Very happy means that's happiness in ignorance. It's not actual happiness. If we want to forget Krishna, Krishna will give us all facility to forget Him. If we want to remember Krishna, Krishna will give us all facility to remember Him. Atasmate jnanam apohanam cha. From Krishna comes remembrance, forgetfulness and knowledge. So what do we want? Now in the human life, we again have the chance to choose. So what do we want? We want to choose Krishna or we want to choose to become a pig? We should choose. We have the facility to choose.
Well, that's fine, but if someone wants to... It's not possible for anyone to remember what karmas he has done in the past, is it?
It is possible. Generally we forget. Generally we forget. Then you learn by hearing. Forgetfulness, that is natural. Because we have limited ability to remember. Just like, can you remember what you were doing at this time 3 days ago? You may remember, but you have, maybe not, you have to think. And if I ask you what you were doing 30 days ago, can you remember? Practically not possible. Can you remember what you were doing when you were 3 years old? Can't remember, practically nothing. We don't remember anything up until about the age of 4 or 5. Then we only have little memory. So, lack of memory, that is symptom of a conditioned soul, or a limited soul. Our nature as living beings is that we have limited ability to remember and know things. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Arjun asks Krishna, Krishna told him, I spoke this knowledge to Vivasvan, the sun god. Then Arjun asked Krishna, how did you instruct Vivasvan? Because you are just the same age as me. And Vivasvan, I never saw you. I've been with you. I know what you've done all your life. I never saw you instruct Vivasvan. He's much older than you. Krishna said, many, many births I have had, and you have had also. I can remember them because I'm God. You can't. Because you are ordinary jiva, ordinary atma. So one thing is that it is our tendency to forget, because we have limited ability to remember. That is our very nature. Another thing is that because we want to enjoy this material world, actually it's not possible to enjoy, but because we have such a tendency, therefore we become covered over by illusion.
Suppose we are all trained the spiritual life. How will people get the academic qualification? Like suppose a person is suffering from some disease or something like that. Now, who will help them?
I think you didn't listen to what I said in the lecture very carefully. Because I was saying that these things can go on side by side. I never said that everyone should stop everything only to study spiritual knowledge. I said that the two things should go on side. For most people, it will go on side by side. Some people, like myself, it is required that someone is a specialist teacher. That is required. But we don't expect that everyone will do that. Someone will be a doctor, someone will be a teacher, someone will be a housewife, someone will be a dentist, someone will be a street cleaner. All these things are needed. What we are advocating is that we don't neglect the spiritual side of life. There's the material side of life, which is required. Even I'm dedicated fully to spiritual activities, but I also am eating food, I'm wearing some cloth. So I'm also, not that we're completely aloof. So some specialist should be there, and for everyone in general, there should be spiritual activities. We never said stop that. I'm not advocating that you stop cooking meals for your husband and just sit and chant Hare Krishna. And when your husband comes, well, I went to a lecture and he said we should be spiritual, so now you cook your own food, I'm going to chant Hare Krishna. What we are advocating is that you cook and you offer to Krishna and give prasad. That we dovetail our material activities with our spiritual life. Previously, I think you're probably from South India. So previously, at least, especially in South India, why South India? All of India. But everyone used to do this. In all the caste families, they would cook, first offer to Vishnu, then they would take prasad. It's a very strict rule. You can't take anything. Even they were very strict that you can't go in the kitchen unless you're, first of all, you have to be initiated, at least in the Sri Vaishnava Brahmin families. The ladies can't go unless they have this. You can't go. And you have to be very clean, take a bath, this, that. Nowadays, we can't follow all these things. But still, we can cook, offer to Krishna, and give prasad. So that way, you give benefit to your family, not only materially, but spiritually. So we're not teaching you to give up material life, but we're teaching you how to fulfill your material responsibilities in a way which is better. You can be a better mother and wife. By providing for your, by looking after your family, not only materially but spiritually. So it's complete. Two things go on side by side. Why not? I know you must be very concerned. Your children are studying here or
no?
No. Just listen. So you're very concerned, no doubt, that good education, good atmosphere, right? So the best atmosphere you can give for your child and maybe other children is a spiritual atmosphere. That means you're really caring for your children. If you only care for them materially, but then they become first-class materialists and go to hell, it may sound very shocking to say, but that's the fact. If your children are only materialistic, and they end up like so many kids nowadays, they're eating meat and drinking, then they'll go to hell. Sorry to say, but this is the fact. But if you care for them spiritually also, and teach them how to live a life in which they're materially responsible and spiritually responsible, then your home life will be very nice, and your children, they will get the full benefit of material life and spiritual life. So if you really want to care for your children, you have to bring them up spiritually. You must do. This is really loving. If you don't give them spiritual knowledge, then you're not actually giving your children all the care and attention and love that they need. You're neglecting the most important part of life.
Once they go for the material education and all, unless we do the spiritual education, we are bound to go into...
Bound to, yeah. It's very difficult in the modern age. The at least you have to give them the chance of spiritual side of life. You have to give them that. If you don't, then you're neglecting. It's your duty also. It's your duty not only to give food, clothing, shelter and education. It's your duty to give knowledge of God. You must give them.
What is the role of service to the fellow human beings?
That is a natural thing. You don't have to make such a big, big talk about it. It's a natural thing that in society we cooperate together. It's a natural thing. Everyone's serving everyone else. In society, it's everyone's function is to serve someone else. So that's a natural thing. We don't have to elevate it to the status of such an elevated thing. Even the animals, they interact with each other. One animal helps another. At least in more developed species like dolphins or what to speak dolphins, even ants. So ants and bees are very good examples. So service to man, that's just a basic principle of normal civilized life. It's not the be all and end all.
Swamiji, devotion should be uninterrupted and unmotivated.
That's the perfection of life. Yes.
In the day-to-day life, what happens is sometimes we get time for chanting, you know, we get time to chant about 5 rounds, sometimes 10 rounds. Afterwards, you try to make it at the later part of the day. It all happens. Sometimes you don't get any time for some reason or the other. You know. In this case, it gets interrupted on and off.
Well, the thing is not to make only our chanting our devotional service, to make all our activities. That's called karma yoga. When we're working in the world, but we dedicate all the results to Vishnu. That's called karma yoga. If you want to find out in detail how to do that, then please read this book by Srila Prabhupada called Message of Godhead, which describes how people living in family life, doing some occupation, they can engage all their activities in Krishna consciousness by karma yoga. So you can arrange for this book, this message of Godhead.
We have it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This explains how you can dovetail all your activities in Krishna consciousness. Any other question?
I'll discuss my question with someone. It's not finished. So what happens is sometimes you get a little time for this, you know. So, can it be, it is still interrupted or it is uninterrupted? Because you still remember, you know, it's not that you don't remember, but
if you're remembering Krishna, then your devotional service is uninterrupted.
It's still uninterrupted, although you don't chant or you don't attend Mangalarti or anything.
Still, remembering Krishna is not such an easy thing. Therefore, our sadhana is required. It's a strong dose of remembrance. Anyway, everyone has to adjust their life. In the modern age, many people have some kind of job. They have to work. This is not very good, either materially or spiritually, actually. Materially, you'll be a nervous wreck. You'll get ulcers and heart attacks. You'll never have time to see your children. You'll be all irritable. Work. That's not good, even materially. I want to speak of spiritually. We need to organize our lives in such a way that we have some time for the really important thing. Making money is important, but that's just to run our life on. But if we don't have any other life except working, then what's the use of being alive? In other words, we should try to organize our lives in such a way that we do have time for these things. Now, you may not be able to change everything overnight, but I would suggest it that you're so busy that you really don't have time, then you should gradually try to make some adjustment. Because at the end of life, if you've simply worked, but you didn't have any time for spiritual advancement, then what was the value of such a life? I know there are many devotees who, the grihasthas, they could be working more hours and getting more money,
that they deliberately cut their hours so they have time for Krishna consciousness. And many Krishna conscious grihasthas like that, who just work what they need to maintain. They could earn more money. Even their Sangha devotees, who are successful businessmen, who could have become even very much more successful. They decided, all right, whatever I'm doing is okay. I don't want to spend all my time and energy in this. I'm going to just do enough to maintain and just use the rest of my time for Krishna consciousness. So it's a life decision. We have to make some decisions how to spend our life. When we understand that there is nothing more important than Krishna consciousness, then naturally we'll want to adjust our lives around the Krishna consciousness. Instead of squeezing in the Krishna consciousness between our work, rather we will have Krishna consciousness as our main activity and do some work only what we need to. It's a matter of emphasis.
But sometimes there's a clash, you know. Something urgent
clash. Then we have to adjust. That we can't change the world. So we have to adjust. We can't tell the world that now I need some extra sleep, so the clock, please, time stop moving for some time. I'm very tired, so I won't go to work for 3 days, I'll just relax. You can do, but you might lose some of your job after some time.
Yes.
So we have to adjust to the world. That requires some intelligence. Even we, being sannyasis, fully engaged, we also have to adjust sometimes because of traveling. For instance, we can't chant in the morning or whatever. If we're going on the plane and like this, we have to make some adjustments. So that just requires a little intelligence. But if our aim and ideal is to be Krishna conscious, then we'll adjust our life accordingly. And if we should adjust it in such a way that such a situation where we don't have time, that is the unusual thing, rather than the